Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast. It's Friday, March 24th. We'll start today with two social media stories in the news, centering perhaps a different take than what's mostly been in the news over the last 24 hours. Heads up that we will name check China, Utah, and Westchester County on this. What you probably heard is that there was a long, contentious hearing in the House of Representatives yesterday with the CEO of TikTok getting grilled for hours on whether China is using the China-based company to spy on Americans. And maybe they are. But actually, I don't think Congress ever established that yesterday. We'll talk to a reporter who's following this in a minute and see if we can find out. But here's a dissenting take. It's 60 seconds of New York Congressman Jamal Bowman of Westchester County speaking yesterday on MSNBC as this hearing was going on.
You know, Republicans have been beating the anti-China drum since even before they took control of the House of Representatives. And this is more governing through fear-mongering without actual evidence. I'm a sitting member of Congress. We have never received one briefing explaining the dangers of TikTok and how TikTok are a national security risk. So this is a rush to judgment without having a larger conversation around the harms of social media in general. Our data right now on Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Twitter, Instagram, our data right now is available for purchase, for sale, for trading, and it is currently being shared with foreign governments and foreign companies without our consent, without our knowledge. So let's talk about all social media companies, what the harms are, and then write federal legislation to deal with those issues instead of scapegoating TikTok.
So to Congressman Bowman, as you heard, his congressional colleagues are missing the forest for the trees so they can say China, China, China. And here's the other story. The state of Utah just passed a law, two laws really, requiring parental consent for minors to use the wildly popular TikTok or any other social media site, or allowing minors to use TikTok at all at certain hours or other social media. Here's the lead from an AP story out this morning. Children and teens in Utah would lose access to social media apps such as TikTok if they don't have parental consent and face other restrictions under a first-in-the-nation law designed to shield young people from the addictive platforms. Two laws signed by Republican Governor Spencer Cox yesterday prohibit kids under 18 from using social media between the hours of 10:30 p.m. and 6:30 a.m., require age verification for anyone who wants to use social media in the state, and open the door to lawsuits on behalf of children claiming social media harmed them. Collectively, this says they seek to prevent children from being lured to apps by addictive features and from having ads promoted to them. That from the Associated Press in Utah. With us for this is Louise Mitsakis, tech reporter for the news organization Semaphore. She co-writes their tech newsletter. Louise, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian. I'm really excited to talk about this topic.
Louise, what was yesterday's hearing actually about?
So yesterday's hearing was the culmination of 3 years of discussion about TikTok in Congress. So this started when President Trump tried to ban TikTok 3 years ago, and that was blocked by two federal courts. But since then, we have basically been having this really long circular discussion about what to do about this app, which is owned by a major Chinese tech company called ByteDance, which is sort of like the Facebook of China, I think is a fair comparison. And we really didn't come to any conclusions, I think. But, you know, spending almost, you know, I think over 5.5 hours watching the CEO of TikTok, Shou Chu, answer questions from lawmakers, what struck me is that this is not just about one app. I think I heard just as many questions sort of about child safety, about, you know, what is social media doing to children around the country, as I did about this company's Chinese ownership and, you know, what sorts of risks it might pose to national security. I think that, you know, Representative Bowman makes a good point, which is that TikTok has sort of become the poster child in many ways for this much larger discussion about both sort of Chinese influence in the US and social media and how we should allow these platforms to be used by, you know, the youngest members of our society.
The Jamal Bowman clip made it sound like this is a Republican hysteria, but the coverage I've seen mostly portrays the hearing yesterday as a bipartisan pile-on. So is this an issue between the parties or a rare point of agreement?
This is definitely a rare point of agreement. I think that Representative Bowman is correct in that this sort of originated as a Republican issue, but I think slowly and more quickly, more recently, Democrats are starting to realize that this is an issue that has traction with voters across the spectrum. So you started seeing them join, you know, various legislative efforts to potentially ban TikTok or restrict its activities in the U.S. You've seen the White House sort of, you know, not want to come to a deal that would resolve national security concerns with TikTok. And they've delayed that deal again and again, which, you know, TikTok has been in negotiations with the administration for, you know, at this point, several years. So it's definitely a bipartisan issue at this point. I think that, this two sides will come at the issue from different angles. I think that Republicans are definitely, you know, sort of emphasizing the China bit, whereas I think Democrats are more likely to, you know, maybe not endorse a full ban. You're definitely seeing that this is a rare point of bipartisanship for sure.
And in a few minutes, we'll play a clip from the hearing that will give people a taste of what it sounded like. It was a lot more questioning than letting the witness answer. But you tweeted yesterday that one line of questioning we keep hearing is TikTok is a sanitized platform in China. So why is there harmful content on TikTok in the U.S.? Is the premise true that TikTok is a sanitized platform in China, whatever sanitized means, but not here?
I think it is true, but I think it's not because ByteDance is more benevolent or cares more about the Chinese market. It's because if they don't heavily censor the platform, they're going to face repercussions in China, right? So I think why that line of questioning was sort of problematic to me is that why are we making this comparison to how social media functions in an authoritarian regime? But I do think, you know, and I didn't have maybe time to say all of this because it's, you know, the length of a tweet, but I do think that lawmakers are picking up on something, which is that Chinese regulators have, tried to address some of the same concerns that they have about child safety, right? There are rules about how much time you can spend on TikTok in China. There are rules about what kind of content you can see if you're a minor. And I think that's actually an issue where there is a lot of overlap. But I think these lawmakers, you know, say, oh, this platform is heavily censored. Why is it not censored here? And to me, that, you know, brings up a lot of First Amendment concerns.
All right. We'll come back to the hearing and TikTok and China and the spying question. But Jude in Nutley, New Jersey, wants to react to the Utah law. Jude, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, how are you? Thank you so much for having me on your show. So I just called in basically to say that I would welcome a partnership because I have a teenager at home and it is somewhat of a challenge to see what they're on. You can't be 100% of the time. So I would welcome some sort of partnership with a platform for my child.
Right. Would you welcome government restrictions on what your child could do or do without your consent?
Not so much a government, more of the platform. Because I feel that from looking at what happened with the hearings yesterday, I felt it was very one-sided and no one was listening to what the options were. And I feel like it's all in one swoop and a lot of good things can be lost in that process. So it's more of, you know, as a parent, you have to use your phone as a tool to regulate what your child sees. But also if the platform, like they're doing in Utah, if I'm not mistaken, there are also certain timelines. So like if after a certain time they can't get on their phone and go on the app, then I would be open to that.
Jude, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. There's a concerned parent. Louise, is it clear to you what they're actually doing in Utah? Could no child, even with parental consent, if the kid is under 18, go on TikTok after 10:30 at night?
So I think it's worth noting that this law is so new and it's not really clear how it's going to be implemented, you know, on a technical level. Like putting in these restrictions would be really difficult. Like I'm not sure how you would verify people's ages, you know, how it would sort of work literally within the app. But the idea is that you would have to have parental consent to even sign up for an account, which I think raises a lot of privacy concerns about teenagers who are maybe in, you know, an abusive household or who, you know, want to use these platforms to reach out to resources, to, you know, connect with their friends, potentially connect with their teachers. But the idea is really that any sort of activity that a child under the age of 18 has on these platforms, their parents would be able to see. You know, I think one of the restrictions would be that all of your private messages would go to your parents. So that sort of restriction, I think, brings up a lot of questions. And I think this is going to be keeping privacy advocates up at night. But I think, you know, to the point that your caller mentioned, this is definitely an issue that parents have. And I think a lot of parents are seeing sort of negative effects of what's happening with their kids online, and they don't know what to do. You know, there's not sort of a clear solution.
Right. And when the caller talked about how it would be good if there was some kind of partnership between the apps and parents, does it not exist already that there are controls that, you know, parental control options that a parent with access to the app could implement?
Yeah, so there are already parental controls. And if you voluntarily say that your age is under 13 or under 18, there are sort of different experiences that TikTok will offer you. So if you're under the age of 13, you're like an 8, 9, 10-year-old, they're actually not allowed to post at all. But again, that is assuming that you are voluntarily providing your correct age and that a parent is, you know, helping you sign up and they know what age you said that you were, right? So a lot of this is voluntary right now, and it takes a lot of involvement on the part of parents, I think.
Right. The parents would really have to police it to even know if the kid was registering as older than they really are or something like that, right?
Totally.
Here's a clip from the hearing that I think exemplifies what that was like yesterday. This is Republican Congressman Neil Dunn of Florida not letting the TikTok CEO really answer his question. You will hear the congressman refer to TikTok and its parent company, ByteDance.
Madam Chair, I'd like to enter into the record this October 20th, 22, Forbes article entitled TikTok Parent ByteDance Plan to Use TikTok to Monitor the physical location of specific U.S. citizens.
Without objection, sir.
Thank you. The project assigned this to a Beijing-led team, and they were going to follow individual American citizens. I ask you again, Mr. Chu, has ByteDance spied on American citizens?
I don't think that spying is the right way to describe it.
All right.
This is ultimately...
We can differ on
this
that.
Is, this is ultimately an internal investigation.
Any TikTok or ByteDance data that is viewed, stored, or passes through China is subject to the laws of China, one-party authoritarian state hostile to all American standards of privacy.
So a speech more than a conversation, but somewhat of an exchange between Republican Congressman Neil Dunn of Florida and the CEO of TikTok. So, Chu, Louise, they sort of disagreed over the definition of spying there, if there was an exchange at all. Can you clarify that for us?
Yeah. So what they are referring to there is this incident in which a ByteDance internal team that was responsible for, you know, sort of corporate oversight, corporate corruption within the company, was trying to find the source of leaks. So there was internal information from TikTok that was leaking to journalists. And what TikTok did is that they looked at the TikTok data of American journalists, and I believe a journalist in the UK, to try and figure out which TikTok employees they might have been speaking to. So it was sort of this internal corporate issue, as I think, you know, Chu tried to clarify. But at the same time, I think that it was this incident that really exemplified the kinds of problems that lawmakers are really, really anxious about, right? Is that this data is out there and it can be used sort of for whatever TikTok wants, right? And some of the people who work at TikTok and TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, are on mainland China. And that's just the reality. You know, I've been reporting on this company for a long time, and I can tell you that there are employees in China who are doing their jobs. You know, whether or not you consider that nefarious, you know, I think sort of depends on your politics. But the reality is that this is a company that is based in China. And I think this incident was sort of, you know, a really unfortunate scandal for the company.
Well, the congressman said TikTok abides by lesser standards of privacy than we have in the United States. But that made me think, what are the standards of privacy we have in the United States for U.S. social media companies, since they seem to gather and disseminate so much data at will?
Right. I think that's a great point. I think what this shows is just like, if it has anything to do with China, that is the line that lawmakers see. We didn't see as much discussion about this data in general, you know, where it's flowing, how much is being collected. It's really about, is it, you know, touching China? Does it have anything to do with China? And I think that's just a really sort of 2D, very, very one-dimensional way to look at this.
Kirsten in Red Bank, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kirsten.
Hello. So I had two thoughts on this. One is that this is just another political stunt. I mean, the Republican Party, one of their primary planks, if they have any, in their platform is to be anti-China. So this is a fantastic opportunity, right, to put their anti-China-ness on display. But secondly, there was a witness, yes, that was there in military uniform, and I'm sorry, I don't know who it was, but he said something to the effect of, TikTok is a loaded gun. And the irony knocked me over because we have actual loaded guns aimed at our kids right now. And in the hearings about that, they hauled a Parkland parent out, threw him out. So I think they need to get their priorities straight. We have actual loaded guns pointed at our children, and the irony is really just too much.
Good contrast between the analogy and the physical reality of the loaded guns. So as we run out of time, Louise, what's the next actual step here? Is Congress going to pass some kind of law, or is the Biden administration going to do something by executive order?
So where we are right now is basically between a rock and a hard place. So last week, the Biden administration signaled that they would not accept sort of a deal with TikTok to, you know, keep all the data in the U.S. They wanted instead to see TikTok spin off from its parent company, ByteDance. So, you know, basically a forced sale. But yesterday, hours before the hearing, the Chinese government indicated that they would not approve such a sale. So we are in a really tough position where I think it's sort of unclear what would happen. But there are a few legislative efforts. You know, one in the Senate is called the Restrict Act, and it's a bipartisan piece of legislation that would make it easier for the Biden administration or, you know, another administration to ban platforms or to restrict their activity based on their national origin. So that might be a path. So the Restrict Act might pass. I think that right now we sort of are still in the place we've been in for years, and I don't think anything is going to happen sort of in the next few weeks or so. It's, you know, going to be a wait and see situation.
Louise Mitsakis covers tech and China for the news organization Semaphore and co-writes the Semaphore Tech newsletter. And you're based on the West Coast, aren't you?
I am. I'm in Los Angeles, where it is only 7:30 a.m., but
I'm
a New Yorker. I was
going to say, you sound so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Thank you for getting up early and doing this with us. Great job.
Thanks, Brian. It was great talking with you.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.